there and welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is October the 6th. It's great to be with you. We're going to be talking about joy today. What do you think about that? Would you like more joy in your life? Who wouldn't, right? With all the craziness going on in the world. You know, this is one of my favorite topics. And speaking on a really personal level, for a long time, I have been looking to experience greater joy. And I want to talk about joy in the sense that joy is not typically what we think of. What do we normally think of when we hear the word joy? Something great happens and we're joyful, right? We're feeling good. But that's not what joy is. Joy is not a response to what's going on around us. Because what that is, that's pleasure. Pleasure is if it's beautiful outside, if I just got a big bonus at work, or if I turn on the news and everything is going great, which if you turn on the news lately, you realize that's not good. That hasn't happened in a long time and it's not going to happen for a long time. But really what joy is a conscious decision. See, we don't normally think of that, but that literally is what the word joy means, especially when you're looking at it as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the way we're going to talk about it today. Joy is a conscious decision. It's a response to God's presence within us. And we have the Holy Spirit in us, so we certainly have something to rejoice about. And St. Paul wrote extensively about joy. And in fact, his letter to the Philippians is sometimes referred to as the epistle of joy, which is pretty funny because Paul wrote the thing while he was under house arrest. And you know, I think if anybody has a right to not rejoice, it's St. Paul, when you look at what he went through. The guy went through some tough times, but yet he tells us, especially in this letter to the Philippians, that we should rejoice always. Why? Because the Lord is near. So let's talk about that a little on the show today. In particular, how it is that we can muster up the strength to rejoice. How can we rejoice when things aren't going well for us, when we're surrounded by problems, when things look bleak in our lives and in the world, which is going to happen. It's going to happen. How can we rejoice? And really the secret is to tap into that power. You know, we've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, we talked about how we can love the unlovable by really letting the Spirit work through us. Today, we're going to discuss how we can be joyful, how we can rejoice no matter what is taking place in our lives. Isn't that a great position to be able to, a great thing to be able to experience? You could be joyful no matter what's going on. You see, what happens then when you can learn to rejoice or show forth joy, no matter what's going on in your life, you're going to be less affected by the craziness that's happening around you. And remember, all of these fruits of the Holy Spirit, yesterday love, today joy, tomorrow we'll talk about peace, they're not just meant to be experienced inside of us. They're meant to flow through us so that our joy can attract other people. And when we share our joy with somebody else, we're going to bring joy into the lives of others. And one of the best ways to evangelize is to be joyful. If somebody sees you filled with joy, no matter what's going on in your life, and I'm not talking about being silly or being giddy when you have problems. No, this is a serenity. Well, you know, it's very similar to the peace we'll talk about tomorrow. But it's a state of mind. It's an awareness of God's presence. It's a joy, a calm joy in the midst of struggles. When we have this joy, we are not reacting to circumstances. And again, it's not pleasure. Pleasure is easy. That's an involuntary response. If something good happens in my life, I'm going to feel pleasure. But joy is not a feeling. Joy is not a feeling. It is a conscious choice. So that's the topic for today. You do not know this, but I'm recording this program a few hours earlier than I normally do. It feels a little weird to do it so early in the day. Here's the deal. I have a webinar for Ave Maria Press It's about finding peace in the midst of a crazy world. It has to do with my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress. But I'm doing a webinar for them a little later in the day, so I'm recording the show early. I do want to mention also that today is Tuesday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to be continuing my series on the Sunrise Morning Show. And also, it just like the webinar today, it's based on Let Go of Anger and Stress. That's what we call the series. 6:35 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. We will be talking about the fruit of peace tomorrow. And peace and joy, I just love talking about them because that's great, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're all looking for, to have greater peace and joy. And can you imagine if, like all the other fruits, that flows through us and we, our peace reaches out to other people. And just like Jesus left us his peace when he said, peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Can you imagine if we start impacting other people by giving them peace? So tune into the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio tomorrow, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, and you'll hear me talk about the fruit of peace. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get on with the show, all right? Let's remember, now here you go, this is a reason to rejoice. This is a reason to rejoice. You know what I'm going to do? Here, I'm going to switch it up now. I feel the Spirit taking me in a different direction. Before we say the prayer, I want to read you St. Paul's, a really great verse from St. Paul, which will lead into the prayers. This is from his letter to the Philippians. It's Philippians 4:4. Paul said this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand." See, that's the reason why we rejoice. That's the reason why Paul says it twice. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. So that's the perfect lead into our prayers right now. The Lord is with us. He's here right now. And that's all the more reason for us to rejoice. So let's turn to our Father in heaven in prayer. This is an incredible privilege to be able to turn to him in prayer. Why worry when you can pray, right? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you. We recognize that you can do all things. Father, we understand that if you want something to happen, it will happen. We pray with confidence, Father. We turn to you. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for being accessible whenever we need you. We thank you for knowing all about us because you put us together. And we thank you for being able to turn to you whenever we need to. You're here. You're wherever we are. So, Father, as we turn to you with confidence in prayer today, we ask you to bless us, to bless our families, to help us to avoid committing any sin. Help us to deal with the craziness in the world. Help us to be willing to make a change, to make a difference, to be that peacemaker, to be the one, as Mother Teresa says. On social media, in the workplace, at home, whenever we're out in the public, help us to make a difference, to be able to share joy with those around us. Father, we choose, as St. Paul tells us, to rejoice at the moment. We rejoice because of your presence, because we know that we are in good hands. Father, I ask you to send us a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Please give me the words for this program so that I can deliver the message you would like delivered. And also, please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to what you have to say. Father, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. I got that inspiration as I was about to launch into prayer. I think it's always a good idea, rather than just to start the prayer, to pause for a minute and think, man, I am speaking to my Father in heaven. I'm speaking to Almighty God, the creator of the universe. And I'm speaking with the help of the Holy Spirit in Jesus, because I'm going to ask in Jesus' name. It's really, really a great privilege, and one that, unless we think of it often, we can just slip into that mindset of rattling off our prayers. You know, I need to pause for a minute. I need to do, I personally speaking, I need to pause whenever I pray, and I picture the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're with me, and I need to remember that, and that helps me. It helps me to avoid just this launching into an endless stream of words, because that can happen to any of us, right? So thank you for praying with me. Thank you for hanging out with me. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. We do this program Monday through Friday, and it's so special to have you be a part of the program. The way I look at it, you and me, we're sitting around the table. We are talking about God and how he wants to get involved with our lives. If you have any doubt about that, just take a look at what happened when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus took on a human form, the second person of the Trinity, the Word, took on a human body so that he can live among us, so that he could suffer and die and rise from the dead to break the chains of sin that held us bound. And now the gates of heaven are open. We've got a room reserved for us in heaven. That's just amazing. So God really does care. He really does. One of the things that came to me, I wanted to work this in, and as I was praying, I thought this would be something good to read. So in today's Mass, October 6th, the entrance antiphon from today's Mass is from the book of Esther. It's Esther 4:17. Listen to this. I really like this because I mentioned about God's will. If he wants something to happen, it will happen. Within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will. For you have made all things, the heaven and the earth, and all that is held within the circle of heaven. You are the Lord of all. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that if God wants something to happen, it will happen. You know, just because some evil takes place in the world doesn't mean he's asleep on the job or he can't control it. He could wipe out evil completely if he wanted to. But for certain, there are certain times when he allows people to, he gave us the gift of free will so people can do bad things. And there's also the idea of natural disasters and things that really aren't affected by somebody's free will. But God permits these things to happen. We may never know the reason. Oftentimes you'll see a hurricane or a tornado occur, and people will just help one another. And you'll see this goodness come out of people. So God can always bring good out of any difficult situation. We got to believe that. We got to believe that. If he wanted to intervene and stop all evil, he could. If he wanted to stop all natural disasters, he could. And again, you're not going to figure this all out. And I think when we try too hard, we drive ourselves crazy and we become frustrated. And we start to think, well, why would God ever allow this, that, or the other thing to happen? But when we think like that, we really hurt ourselves. We don't hurt God. We hurt ourselves when we do that. Let's just understand God loves us. And really, this is where our faith comes in. By faith, we can believe that. God loves us, God is for us, God is with us, and he will always be able to bring good out of any difficulty that we face. And a lot of these storms that we face, you know, not just weather-related storms, but difficulties in life, a lot of them are designed to help us grow closer to him. Because you can't really step out in faith if you know all of the facts. If I know what's going to happen tomorrow, there's no trust required, if I know exactly what's going to happen in my life, I don't need to have faith. But I do have to have faith. And that's why God keeps some of this a mystery, because he wants us to trust him. Why? Because that's how we are going to get closer to him, by trusting him. So keep that in mind. And really, through faith, you will be able to believe sometimes things that don't seem very believable, right? We can believe even though it doesn't technically on the surface make sense. And that's what really faith is all about. I thought that was really good, that verse from the book of Esther. And I thought it fit in nicely. And just try to remember that, really. Because unless you believe that God is all-powerful, then you're not going to have any confidence in him when you pray. You have to believe that. And pray for that grace to be able to believe that through faith, that God can handle whatever you present to him. and then pray for the grace to be humble and trusting enough to accept him to answer it in the best way possible, which might involve a no. He might have to say no to you. It's not fun, though, is it? But that's the journey of faith. Okay, well, if you want to find out more information about me and about the work that I do, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I want to make sure we talk about joy, which is the purpose of, it's the topic for today. And in case you missed the past couple of shows, I've been going through the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And this is all based on my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. This is a life-changing concept. And I'm not just trying to sell books. I'm trying to sell books because I believe in this. And this is something that has transformed my life, this dependence and this learning to cooperate and let the Holy Spirit work in me. It has been transformational in my life because I used to try to do everything by myself. I'm not going to worry by myself. I'm going to become a good Christian by myself. And none of it worked. And I started thinking, what am I doing wrong? And then over the years, some reading, some listening to good speakers, I eventually got the point that Jesus didn't ever want us to try to live this life on our own. And that's why he sent the Spirit. He sent his Spirit to dwell in us. And if you can tap into the power, and yeah, that it is power, the power of that Spirit, people are going to look at you and begin to see Christ in you. And it doesn't matter how weak you are. It doesn't matter how big of a sinner you are. Nobody can be a bigger sinner and weaker than me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And this is what St. Paul constantly says. He was a persecutor of Christians. And yet he was chosen. He was chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles, the guy who was going to bring the good news to the Gentile people. Why Paul? Because that's who God chose. And when he had that encounter on the road to Damascus with Jesus, he was chosen. And he was a very unlikely person to be chosen because all the Jewish people, they were afraid of Paul because he was persecuting them. But look at what Jesus did. Paul ended up writing most of the New Testament. And again, you don't get to be any more imperfect than him. But we're talking about joy today. And when St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, it's a very powerful statement. Considering it's coming from somebody who is under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard 24/7, he's saying rejoice. Why could he say that? It's because he recognized the presence of Jesus in his life. And he knew the Holy Spirit was dwelling in him as well. That's what you and I need to learn to do. And if we do that, then we can choose to rejoice. Look, you don't have to feel happy when you rejoice. You can say, I rejoice in the presence of the Lord. I do. You know, it's a conscious decision. It's a choice that you make every day, whether or not you feel like it. But now the question arises, is there anything I can do to feel that joy? And the answer is yes. And I talk about this in the book. And let's talk about a few things that we can do to help us to really rejoice and to be able to experience God's presence in us. I think the first one, and this is one that I have struggled with, the first thing to do is to stop complaining. And when you think about it, complaining serves no purpose. When I grumble about the weather, and boy, have I grumbled about the weather over the years. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's raining. I don't like the fall. I don't like the winter. I wish it was summer. You know, and I've done that for so long. It's cloudy. I've done that for so long. But all it really does is take away your joy. It makes you more miserable. And we do it so much. And just about all of the time, complaining serves no purpose. It serves no purpose. Now, there are times when bringing a complaint to somebody will serve a purpose. But for the most part, grumbling, complaining just brings you down. And it's a sign of being ungrateful. I mean, and if you look at what happened to the Israelites as they were being led out of slavery in Egypt, their complaining offended God. tremendously, and it cost them. They paid the price for the complaining. So it's a very simple thing. Stop complaining. And think about that. Try to go through a day. Try one day and see what happens. Try to go through one day without complaining. And you're going to be able to feel more joyful. The second thing I would recommend is to count your blessings. Now, I say this in the book, and I really mean this. Gratitude does not come naturally for me because I have a tendency to overlook my blessings. I always have. So for several years now, when I wake up in the morning, I run through a list of blessings. Thank you, Father, for giving me a new day. Thank you for letting me be able to see. Thank you for letting my lungs function and process the air. Thank you for letting my heart beat. Thank you for the hot and cold running water. Thank you for indoor plumbing. Thank you for my wife, for my children. Thank you for my house. And you get the point. But I go through this list every day and ask the Holy Spirit when you do it, and you're going to come up with some creative things to be thankful for, things that you have overlooked for the longest time. I have grumbled about food because I didn't like the dessert that we had in the house. You know, the sweets weren't to my liking. And yet people in the world are starving. They're eating from garbage heaps to try to stay alive. And I'm complaining about a particular dessert. You know, and I have been spoiled. I grew up. I had a very easy childhood. I had whatever I wanted. And I got spoiled. And as a result, I became very ungrateful for things. And I'm working on that now. You know, the fact that we weren't able to receive Holy Communion when churches were closed for several months, that made me recognize that I was not grateful for the gift of the Eucharist. I took it for granted, you know. So by not complaining and by counting your blessings, you know, just go through a few each day, each morning, and maybe throughout the day, at the end of the day, thank you, Lord, for all the great food you provided for me today. Thank you for sustaining my life. Thank you for letting me live in a free country where I can practice my religion. So many times I thank God for the beautiful, have like a little forest across the street from my house. It's just a wooded area, but it's a really great, it almost makes feels like even though I'm living in a city, it makes me sometimes feel like I am in the country. And I like that. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you for the birds. I mean, you could get very creative. And when you do that, you will become more grateful. When you couple that with a lack of complaining, you'll be able to feel that joy even more. The other thing that I recommend is that you read the Bible frequently. And I always, if people ask, where do I start? I always recommend the daily mass readings. That is a great way to be led through the Bible. Let the church lead you through the Bible. Or there are books too. There are books where scriptures are interspersed in the book. And all of my books have Bible verses throughout them. I have found that to be very effective. I initially struggled just opening up a Bible and reading through it. Now, that might work for you, but that's always been a struggle for me. If you're going to do that, I recommend you start with the Gospels. Mark is a good one to start with. It's very, very short, to the point. But the Gospels are a great place to start. And don't speed read. Just take your time. Let the Lord speak to you. And then the more you do that, right, the more you do that, the more you will begin to recognize what St. Paul said, that the Lord is near. The Lord is with you. And that's what we need to remember. And that's why we should rejoice. A couple of other things we can do. We can live in the moment. And I do mention in the book, one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is that we can't experience joy if we are in the midst of an ongoing problem. I felt that way for years. You know, I've got money problems, or we've got this pandemic going on. I can't experience joy. Well, I can. I can sit down, have a nice cup of coffee, sit down with my wife, take a walk, enjoy a sunset. You know, there are many little things I can do, which allows me to experience, you want to call it pleasure, in the midst of craziness. And then I can rejoice that the Lord has given me that little bit of pleasure or happiness in the midst of an ongoing difficult situation. You don't need to get everything perfect in your life before you begin to rejoice and be thankful and be grateful, because you'll never get to the point where everything is perfect. And then also I'd recommend you stay close to Jesus. if you can receive Holy Communion every day, it's huge. It's very huge. It really is very beneficial. And also recognize the value of trials. Because when you experience trials, when the Lord leads you into the storm, He allows you to go into the storm, you can experience a closeness with Him. You can unite your suffering with the suffering of Jesus, so you get closer to Him. And also, you begin to recognize just how much He provides for your needs and how He is always present with you, even when things seem to be going wrong. So there's a lot of different things you can do which will help you to be able to rejoice, and then it'll make it a little easier. Yes, you can force yourself to rejoice and say, yes, I will choose to rejoice even though I'm miserable, or you can do some of these little things and recognize that, wait, the Lord is with me. I've got many blessings that I've overlooked. I'm not complaining. Because the more you complain, the more down you're going to feel, the more harder it's going to be to rejoice. Why make it harder on yourself? So yes, we rejoice because God is with us wherever we go. Okay? That's it. There you go. Hey, it was great to hang out with you today. Tomorrow on the program, God willing, I hope to be here, we're going to talk about peace and what exactly is peace. And boy, we need some peace in our lives, don't we? So I hope you're able to join in join me here for the program. Again, don't forget Sunrise Morning Show, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. You can catch me on the show. And if you need anything, you can email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's Gary@followingthetruth.com. As always, I will be praying for you. Please keep me in your prayers as well. And remember, the Lord is always with us. So no matter how bleak things appear, and they will appear bleak at times, and things will appear hopeless, that doesn't make it true. It doesn't mean anything is hopeless. Because why? Because with God, all things are possible. Really. It's really the truth. So I hope you have a fantastic day. And again, please keep me in your prayers. I will be praying for you. For more information about my work, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you again here tomorrow on Following the Truth. See ya.